Word comes to us from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, as we continue our study of the ministry of Christ recorded for us in the Gospel of Mark. And tonight we'll begin reading at verse 21 and then read through verse 34. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. What we hear now is God's Word. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we have seen that Jesus came to do ministry among his people. We have talked about Jesus' ministry being announced by John the Baptist. We have talked about Jesus' ministry being inaugurated in his baptism. Last time we saw Jesus' ministry commenced as he came to bring a message, the message of the kingdom of God. And tonight we see Jesus' ministry confirmed. He comes and he comes with a message of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that ministry of the kingdom is confirmed by the miracles that he does. These are the first miracles recorded for us in the book of Mark. And when we see Jesus doing miracles, as we shall tonight and throughout our study of this book, we remember that the focus was not so much on the miracle itself, but to bear witness to who Jesus was. He was the Son of God who came with authority to declare the message of the kingdom. Well, tonight we look at these miracles and see Jesus, the testimony to his authority over evil spirits, his authority over sickness, as that witnesses to the authority of his teaching. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus went to Capernaum, went to the synagogue where he was teaching. And as he is teaching, there comes in a man with an unclean spirit. Now that may seem a bit strange to us to begin with. How is this man with an unclean spirit come into the synagogue, a place where God's teaching should be going on? But somehow this man comes in with this unclean spirit, unquestioned, and he comes and there is this conflict between the man and Jesus. There's the conflict between the evil spirit and the Son of God. And it is an expected conflict. When the Son of God, who comes to bring the message of the kingdom, comes in contact with an evil spirit, we can expect a confrontation. And the man speaks to Jesus, the evil spirit speaks, and verse 24, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Or what he's saying is, "What business is there between any of us? What do we have to each other? For you are from the kingdom of light," and he acknowledges, "I am not." What relationship could there be? "I know who you are. I know who you are," he says. "You are the Holy One of God." The evil spirit confesses who Jesus is. He confesses truly. He confesses rightly. Jesus is the one who has come. He is the Holy One of God. But he speaks the truth and makes this true confession about Jesus only intellectually. That's why Jesus says, "Don't talk. Don't speak. Be quiet. Be silent." He rebukes him. Don't say those things. Jesus does not simply want the truth spoken about him. "You are the Holy One of God." But he wants the truth spoken by those who are willing to accept him, believe him, embrace him. Jesus is not satisfied with simply an intellectual account of who he is. But he calls forth from those who really want to praise him a heartfelt response, a desire to embrace him, to love him, to follow him. And the same is certainly true today. When we are faced with the question, "Who is Jesus?" we can give an intellectually correct answer. An answer that comports with Scripture. "You are the Christ, the Son of God." But does that answer arise simply out of head knowledge or from a heart that recognizes him? "You are the Christ, the Son of God, my Savior." Jesus calls forth from us not simply an intellectual acknowledgement of who he is, like the evil spirit gave, but he calls forth a confession from our hearts. "We know who you are. You are our Lord. You are our Savior." If that is not there, Jesus says, "Be silent." And he demonstrates his power, his authority over the spirit by saying those words, "Be silent, I rebuke you." And then he goes on and he says, "And come out of him." Not only could Jesus silence the spirit, but he could control the evil spirit and demonstrate that by the authority of his word, by the power of the word spoken, this evil spirit would come out. He convulses the man violently and he comes out with a loud cry. Jesus demonstrates his authority. Look at the response of the people. They don't say, "Wow, he cast out a demon." They say, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He commands even unclean spirits and they obey." The miracle was a witness to the authority of his word. He came to teach, he came to instruct. The kingdom of heaven is here. And as a witness to that, he exercises authority over evil spirits. There is even yet today that conflict in kingdoms. When Jesus Christ is publicly declared, when his kingdom is announced, it should not surprise us that there are those who don't want to hear that announcement, who will not listen, who may even say, yeah, "We know about this Jesus, but that's not the Jesus we believe in." There's a conflict in kingdoms when the kingdom of God comes and is declared to the people. And God wants not simply an intellectual acknowledgement, but he wants entrance into that kingdom by a true heart confession of who Jesus is. Not simply, "Jesus of Nazareth, I'm aware of you. I know about you. You are the Holy One of God." Not, "I know about you, but I know you. For you have called me into a relationship with yourself." God calls from us a heartfelt response. And Jesus then embraces that response as the Lord, as the giver of all good things, as the one who has authority over the spirits. He comes and demonstrates the power of His word by casting out an evil spirit. Then the story goes on. He leaves the synagogue, enters the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, and Simon's mother-in-law is laying ill with a fever. They tell him about her, and he came and he takes her by the hand and lifts her up, and the fever leaves. Jesus will again demonstrate His power, His authority. Now, Mark, in his recording of this story, simply says Jesus came and took her by the hand. Luke records the story a little more fully, and he says Jesus rebuked the fever. Jesus, by the power of His word, rebuked the fever, and it left her. A witness to the power of the word of Jesus. That when He speaks, things change. That when He speaks, life comes about. This woman with the fever is now brought up by the hand. The fever is rebuked. He lifts her up. We read the fever left her, and she began to serve them. This was no meager healing. This was no halfway healing. You've had a fever before. You know that even when your fever leaves, you still feel weak. That's not the case here. Jesus comes and gives full healing, full restoration. He restores her so much that she can be up and around and serving them. Jesus demonstrates His authority over sickness, and that she might be healed, fully restored, and prepared to serve. Prepared to serve Jesus and serve others. How often isn't that the case in our lives as well? That we pray to Jesus, we pray to God that Jesus might heal us, might confirm us, might help us in a particular problem. And when He chooses to do that, it brings glory to Him and should prepare us for service. That has to be what is in the back of our minds anytime we cry out to God. How will the answer to this prayer help me to serve God more? How will the answer to this prayer help me to serve His people more? When Jesus comes and heals her and the fever's gone, she gets up and she begins to serve. She serves those around her. Jesus today chooses to heal. Sometimes miraculously. But often through means. He uses the means of doctors, of nurses, of medicines, and of surgeries. And we still give Him the thanks and praise for that. But He heals us for His glory. He heals us that we can be of greater service. He heals us that we can serve Him, serve our God, and serve one another. Jesus' authority over sickness is that which brings glory to Him and encourages us in our walk with Him. Encourages us to serve Him more fully wherever He has placed us. And as this word goes out, that Jesus can heal, that Jesus can cast out demons. At evening, at sundown, they brought to Him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered at the door. And He healed many who were sick with various diseases, and He cast out many demons. Jesus' power, Jesus' authority, was not limited simply to a few back in the New Testament times, but His power and authority continue today. The power of His miraculous authority as a witness to His teaching authority. He was there at Capernaum. He went on the Sabbath to the synagogue and was teaching. That's what He came to do. He came to teach. And to undermine the authority of His teaching, these miracles took place. They were astonished, verse 22 says, they were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. How did the scribes teach in the synagogue? Well, the scribes taught by reading a particular portion of the Torah And then they would quote other authorities. They would quote what so-and-so said about this text. If I was with it tonight, I'd read the text, and I'd say, okay, according to this commentary, this is what it means. According to this commentary, this is what it means. Kind of like we talked about this morning. Almost a shared pool of ignorance. According to Rabbi Ben Syriac, the text means this. According to Rabbi Yosef, the text means this. According to Rabbi Yaakov, the text means this. And they would cite authority after authority after authority till you weren't sure what it said anymore. It could be any one of these things. Jesus comes, not citing authorities. Jesus comes with authority. And when he speaks, he doesn't simply speak about the Word of God, he speaks the Word of God. We see that in Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is really an explanation of the law of God. Jesus says, "You have heard it said this, I am teaching you this." And he doesn't cite anybody else. He speaks the Word of God. He gives the law its fullest meaning. He gives the law its perfect application. Jesus comes with authority. And simply because of the power of who he is, declares the truth of the Word of God. They hear him. They're amazed. What is this? A new teaching with authority. New teachings were always suspect because there was no authority to back them up. Jesus comes, brings the teaching, the fullness of who God is, what his law is, and the authority to back it up, the authority over spirits, the authority over sickness. This is a new teaching, they say, a new teaching with authority. But we know Jesus didn't come with a new teaching. He came with the fullness of the old teaching. Jesus came and as I said, gave the law its fullest meaning. It may have sounded new to them, but it was not new. Jesus, in his teaching, speaks in concert with the law of God revealed to them, with the law of God in the Old Testament. It may seem new. It may seem radical. It may seem different. But it was the same Word of God, now seen through the perfection, through the life, through the ministry of Jesus, what he came to do. As we have the opportunity to share the gospel with others, it may at times seem like a new teaching. When we share the truth that God saves us in spite of who we are, God saves us without us having to do anything. God saves us simply for his own good pleasure. For those who have never heard that, they will say, "But I thought I had to do something. I thought I had to go to church. I thought I had to tithe. I thought I had to do all these things." You don't have to do anything. The gospel is God chooses to save you for his own good pleasure. And that truth comes with authority. The authority of the Word of God. They say, "I don't believe it. Don't I have to do something?" No, just simply read Ephesians 1. And we see that God, for his own good pleasure, chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the world. A new teaching? It may sound new. It may sound foreign to ears that have been filled with what you must do, what you must do, what you must do. We simply embrace by faith what Christ has done. This is the authority of the gospel. This is the authority of the Word of God, the Word we are called to share with others. And as we share that gospel, we talk about the fact that Christ, in reconciling us to himself, changes everything in our lives. And that, too, may sound new. Maybe we've gotten used to that. But the fact that Christ comes and declares a kingdom, not simply a private relationship between Jesus and us, but because we have been saved, everything changes.
Our relationship with our spouse is under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Our relationship with our children, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Our relationship with our employers or employees, under Christ's Lordship. There is a kingdom perspective that people will say, a new teaching! Never heard it before! But it comes with the authority of the Word of God. It is not true. It is the same message Jesus brought so many years ago. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And we repent and we believe. Everything changes. Everything changes. Christ came as a cosmic Savior. One who didn't simply save our souls from hell, but changed our lives for heaven. He came to remake us after His own image. The authority of the Word of God. When that message of the kingdom, when that message of the gospel is proclaimed, we can expect conflict. We can expect to be those who won't believe it. Show me your authority. Our authority comes from God's own Word. We can take them to text after text about God declaring the life-changing effects of the kingdom. Jesus came and He did miracles. Maybe we should be looking for that today. Maybe to confirm the message that we bring, we should be trying to cast out demons. We should be trying to heal the sick. Can you imagine that? If in the Sioux Center Journal it said, this Sunday evening, sick being healed, corporate center, show up at 6 o'clock. Okay? The place would be full. We don't need those type of confirmations anymore. The confirmation as to the truth of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of Jesus is found in the Word of God. We look at Jesus and His resurrection. The fact that God had promised that Jesus would be raised again. This is the confirming miracle that we point to in His authority. No other leader, no other spiritual guru has been raised from the dead. Only one. Jesus Christ, the King, the Lord of the kingdom. We don't look for contemporary miracles. We don't look for miraculous healings or the authority over spirits, power encounters. But we look to what God has done and confirmed and recorded for us in His absolutely authoritative Word, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, demonstrating His victory, not only over spirits, but over Satan himself. He crushed the kingdom of Satan. It looked like Satan was winning. Even on the cross, looks like Satan's got the upper hand. But on that third day, Jesus rises again. Victory over the power of Satan himself. Victory over not only sickness, but victory over death. Death could not hold Jesus Christ. Death could not keep Him in the grave. But His power, His majesty, His authority, by those He has raised to new life again. The resurrection is our confirmation that the Word of God, the authority of the gospel, is real and true. They heard Jesus. They heard Him speak with authority. The evil spirit heard. Simon's mother-in-law heard. One was rebuked and sent away. The evil spirit, while making a true confession, did not make a heartfelt confession. One who heard began to serve. It seems there are always two responses to the gospel message. We either will embrace it, we'll love it, we'll live by it, it'll shape us, and we will serve God and serve others, or we'll intellectualize it, marginalize it, and reject it, and be sent away. The gospel of the kingdom goes out again tonight. Jesus confirmed His ministry and the authority of His word.
Friends in Christ, I declare to you tonight that for all who confess, for all who believe, Jesus saves you from your sins. Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you have repented, if you have believed, then embrace that kingdom vision. And let Jesus' power, His authority, and His teaching shape every part of your life. Your relationships, your work, the things you say, the things you do. And know the glory of the authority of Jesus and His Word. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do recognize that You are God over all. And that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, the One who came preaching and teaching. Lord God, may we bow before His majesty. May we bow before the authority of His Word. If we have not before embraced the truth of the gospel, tonight we pray You would work powerfully in our hearts. If we have embraced that truth, Lord God, but are not living with a kingdom vision, if we have marginalized the power of God to one part of our life, Lord God, forgive us. And may we commit once again to letting Your Word, Your law, flow over every part of our life, everything that we do. You've given us a true and trustworthy authority. May that shape our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.